Thank you. How beautiful. Wasn't that great? Just beautiful. Thank the Lord. It's been a beautiful week for me too. And I just praise God for the privilege of being here. Let's take a look again at Romans 7 this time. Let's take a look again at Romans. And at Romans 7 again this morning. I think I want to begin reading with verse 14. I may skip a verse or two and read down into Romans 8. Romans 7:14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree to the law that it is good. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. Then he repeats that idea again, and down in verse 21. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I of myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. I can't resist a parenthesis here. That sounds like an anticlimax, doesn't it? Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Yes, it is an anticlimax. Very much so. And the key to it, it seems to me, is that little phrase, so then, I of myself. Who will deliver me? Christ Jesus, my Lord. I of myself, what am I left with then? A very great anticlimax. Caught in the hopeless struggle of the dualism between what I want to do and what I can do. But thank God, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Isn't that a great verse? For God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Last night we talked a while. Well, that's one way of saying it. I yelled at you for a long time on this great subject. Jesus means freedom. So we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Folks, Jesus means freedom from sterile legalism and bondage to external conformity and self-effort as a means of producing righteousness. The Christian life is not the moral struggle to obey a set of externalized commands in rote fashion. There's a struggle in the Christian life, but it is the struggle to remain open to the creative leading of the Spirit of Christ. And there's not time to talk about that, but I believe that is a continuing struggle, to remain open to the creative leading of the Spirit of Christ. Do you remember this one? To run and work the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. Hallelujah. Jesus sets us free from legalism. Jesus also sets us free from the dynamic principle and power of sin. I mentioned last night that Paul uses the word law in two ways, at least. He uses it in terms of the Mosaic legislation, which comes to us as a package, you know, of do's and don'ts, that originally expresses the great deliverance, but then comes to be an external package to which we respond either positively or negatively. But however we respond, the package itself doesn't carry with it the new life of Christ. And you can get bound up in legalism. Paul uses the word law there. He was bound up in that, hand and foot. But he uses the word law in another way, as we use the word law in the phrase, the law of gravity. Sin is more than just the series of the disconnected, isolated acts of obedience or disobedience or omission or commission of our lives. I believe that. You can add up in a big old computer all the acts of omission and commission that aren't right and come down to the bottom and get the sum total of the whole business, and you do not have the sum total of sin in a man's life. It's not just the series of isolated, unrelated acts of disobedience. Sin is a power. I believe that. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul was more serious in his view of sin than I think we are sometimes. I know in my own life I have taken it more seriously than I used to. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Somebody told me this week about a high school friend who just graduated from high school, went off and got a job, and their life just started going down, down, down. And first thing you know, they were caught up in a bunch of destructive things that there just was no way out. Anybody else want to testify? Do you know people like that? Is that your own experience? I'm talking to some of you that God just literally picked up and brought here. And if He hadn't brought you here, God knows where your life would be today. I'm free to say that about you because that's my testimony. Where would I be if God hadn't just picked me up, put me 150 miles away in college, Pasadena College, where I belonged? I just think about stuff like that. I think I used to think more than I do now that we had power over our own lives, you know? So we say, I've got to get my act together. Some of you have been trying to get your act together a long time. Say, give me a little more time and I think I can work this thing out. I can work through this relationship. I can work through this habit. I can work through this situation. Just give me a little more time. I think I can handle it. Then once in a while I hear a dumb preacher say, I hear a preacher say a dumb thing. You got to be careful where you put your adjectives. You know that? Well, in this case, I heard a dumb preacher say a dumb thing. He's saying, it takes a man to be a Christian. Oh, brother. I understand that. But what about us girls? Don't call me a sissy or I'll hit you with my purse. You got to be strong to live for God. Oh, brother. I know. That doesn't say anything to the weaklings among us. I get this crazy image of a guy going down the corridors of the hospital, stopping in the room, saying, your trouble is you're sick. If you were strong, you wouldn't be here. And if you want to get out of here, what you need to do is be strong. Well, amen. Kind of like, pow, thanks, I needed that. And I've gone through times of getting angry with people because they just wouldn't get their act together. Did you ever have the feeling like you want to just drop kick somebody into the kingdom? And, you know, come on, dummy. You know that old hymn, don't you? Drop kick me, Jesus, over the goalpost of life. Is there a ukulele in the house? We could have it. I guess what I am facing and thinking about this morning is this. The awesome reality is no one is his own moral master. And I think the sooner we know that, the better off we are. Augustine said, how oft have I lashed at my will and cried, leap now, and I crouched for the leap and all but leaped, but I did not leap. And the life to which I was accustomed held me more than the life for which I really yearned. Oh, my soul. I understand that, and so do you. How oft have I lashed at my will and cried, leap now, and crouched for the leap, and all but leaped, but I did not leap. The life to which I was accustomed held me more than the life for which I really yearned. And sometimes we think I could if I just wanted to bad enough. So... if I wanted to bad enough, if I had the strength to do it, if indeed I wanted to bad enough, I think a lot about that. I've thought about it a lot lately in connection with the poor. It's all right to be poor, but you don't have to be dirty. You know, and all the dumb things I used to say and think about the poor, and then I began to understand a little more about life. And about what happens at the point of hopelessness and despair and no upward mobility and no basic control. I tell you, folks, something profound erodes us at the very depths, and that is precisely the human situation. But thank God, there's another law. There is the law of sin and death. It isn't just our isolated, disconnected act. There is a power of sin. And I've already told you more than I know about it. But I thank God there is another law. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. Thank God. I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus can do more with sin than forgive it. He can cleanse the conscience that has been defiled and break the octopus grip that sin has upon the soul. I just want to tell you, I believe that with all my heart. And I say that from the depths of my heart in full awareness of the reality of humanity. And I don't believe in absolutes and I don't believe in magic. And there's nobody here going to testify to their perfections. But I tell you, God's grace can reach to us at the depth and make some decisive changes Right in the midst of our humanness and our weakness, there are decisive changes that can be made that do not come from ourselves, but come from His marvelous grace. And here's the verse that I love, Romans 8:3. Christ has entered the realm where sin held power and won a decisive victory in which we may share. Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. What's the matter with the law? Us. Law's okay. Sin and us are the problem. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Listen to this. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Well, yes. Where do I struggle? Folks, it's not up here. It's right here. It's in the flesh. Indeed, you can define that according just any way. Right now, you can define that any way you want to define it. Paul uses it basically as unregenerate human nature. But where do we struggle? It's right in the flesh, folks. Right down at the level where we struggle is the level where Jesus has come and won the victory. Now, that's related to the stuff I was yelling at you first day. God has come all the way down to where we are. Did you know that He has encountered sin at the level where we struggle? No, you haven't let that down deep enough yet. I mean at the level where you really struggle. No, you haven't come down deep enough yet. I mean with the things you struggle with. With the thoughts, the feelings, the fantasies, the hopes, the dreams, the weaknesses, the yearnings, right where we struggle. I don't know if we believe that or not. If that's not true, we're just plain stupid and lost, kidding ourselves. But thank God, it is true. Did you know that Jesus fought and won at the level, come on down, at the level where we struggle and lose? I must be awfully secure. See how I'm not even yelling? And I believe that. It took me a long time to believe that. But I tell you, I believe that from the depths of my heart. God sending His own Son in the likeness of what kind of flesh? Sinful flesh. And for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus has come all the way down to where we are and met the power of sin at the place where we struggle with it. And there, right there, and no other place, right there, right now, no other place is what we're talking about. Right there is where He won it. Hallelujah. I don't know if that helps you, but that helps me so much. You know what it says to me? We do not believe in magic. We understand the complexity of our human situation, but that says to me a phrase that I've come to like. We are not locked in. Hallelujah. You are not locked in. I'm not locked in. And I don't know you, so I'm free to use all kinds of illustrations, and it's a good thing there isn't time to. It's not my business to tell you anything you're locked into. Heaven knows, you know that better than anybody. Well, what are you locked in with? I'm talking about all of it. I'm talking about all of it. We're not locked in to liquor or drugs or lust or sexual fantasies. We're not locked in to destructive behaviors. We're not locked in to destructive habit patterns of either behavior, attitudes. We're not locked in to the grip of our hurts and injuries and bad experiences and awful times of the past. I tell you, that's the best news in the whole world, isn't it? To be set free from all of that. And I'm tempted to talk too much because I've been in a college a long time, and I know some of you are carrying in your hearts experiences that are too awful for you even to think about or talk about. And I tell you, the grace of God can reach to the depths of our real selves and our real needs, down to where our real struggles are really met, or where we really fight and struggle and lose so much. He comes down there. We are not locked in to bitterness or to hatred. We are not, thank God. There are two phrases that emerge out of this business. Not I, but sin. Oh, yes. Romans, I think it's Romans 7:17, Romans 7:20. Not I, but sin that dwells in me. There is a force that just takes hold of us. But the other side of the thing is, not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's Galatians 2:20. Hallelujah. Well, amen. I can't. He never said I could. He can. And said he always would. I believe that. And I've got sense enough like you to know that the law won't do it. Our struggles won't do it. Our good intentions won't do it. But the mighty grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ can in fact do it. And I forgive me for keep saying I don't believe in magic. And I don't believe in absolutes. But I really believe that the power of God can do a decisive work in us that makes a difference in our lives. That is real. Hallelujah. And it isn't ours, it's His. And in that victory, that's where we live. Praise His name. Well, bow your heads with me a minute, will you? Lord Jesus, how grateful we are that the power that's ours is not our own but comes from Thee and is real. How keenly aware we are that we don't have anything to say about our own abilities. We know ourselves too well for that. But we are praising Thee this morning that there is another law at work in our lives. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are so grateful that more can be done with what's wrong with us than repeated forgiveness, though we thank Thee for Thy forgiveness. We thank Thee that there is cleansing for the conscience that has been defiled. There is freedom from the octopus grip that sin has upon us. We rejoice in this freedom this day and know how much we need Thee. So we open our hearts to Thee. Is there anything we need to hear right now, Lord? Is there any word of freedom that needs to come to someone right now from Thee? If so, say it now, we pray, while we are waiting in Thy presence. In Jesus' name. Let's sing He's Lord again, shall we? He is Lord. Would you stand with me? He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, amen. We all know our situation, don't we? And the schedule's moving on. Today's Friday. Oh, amen. Tis a good day. But you know, too, that I'm going to tell you this altar is wide open, and if you want to come and pray, this is a great place to come. Great time to come. Let's sing it again. And if you want to come, please come while we sing the chorus now, will you? God bless you. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He beautiful? Beautiful. You know what makes that chorus so beautiful is that the Lordship of Jesus is exercised in the power of the resurrection. He's risen from the dead. That's it. And when it comes right down to it, what we need is His Lordship in our lives, exercised in the power of the resurrection. Amen. And if you are hungry for magic, you better not come here. You are destined for disappointment. But if indeed you need to expose some part of your life, something in your life, or the whole of your life in a new way to the Lordship of Jesus, I guess this is a good place to come. Amen. He is Lord. He is Lord. I thank you for the privilege of being here. God bless you. Let's consider ourselves dismissed. If you need to slip along, would you go quietly? If you can spend a few minutes here, why don't you just come? God bless you and thank you.